Diversion Audio.
Rat Race got you down?
Stars, the hottest, biggest
show business is full of legendary double acts. Lennon and McCartney, Scorsese and De Niro, Mary-Kate and Ashley. In 1993, MTV gave us another iconic twosome to add to that list.
Says his name is Cornholio. What
the hell kind of a name is that?
I don't know. It says he's from Lake Titicaca.
Lake Titicaca. Titicaca. Agua for my bunghole.
Will you find out what a bunghole is?
You are a bunghole.
We were on a break!
Oh, what's the show about?
It's
about nothing.
Have you ever met?
No!
Did you talk about news?
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
Oh my God, they killed Kenny!
I am Mark from Ark. No, 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 no.
That's what she said.
Hello and welcome to the shows we watched with me, James King.
And me, Emily Johnston.
We celebrate the biggest shows in TV history, your favourites, our favourites. But do they always stand the test of time? Over the next half hour, we'll find out.
Yes, we might be two journalists from opposite sides of the Atlantic, but we've both got very square eyes.
And this week, grab your Metallica t-shirt. In fact, Emily's wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt. I'll change that. Grab your Led Zeppelin t-shirt, pop on your dental braces, and get ready to have zero success with the opposite sex. This is basically my teenage years we're talking about. Emily, what is the show we watched this week?
Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, yes. March the 8th, 1993. That's when the original series of Beavis and Butthead debuted, ran for 7 seasons. Couple of revivals as well, one on Paramount Plus right now. Movies as well, created and voiced by Mike Judge, who's had this amazing career, went on to make Office Space, King of the Hill, Silicon Valley. Emily, where do you want to start with Beavis and Butthead? Did you watch this growing up?
Oh, I have to start by embarrassing myself.
Oh, wow. Okay, where are we going with this?
I was not allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead.
What? Okay, let's unpack that a little bit. So you were at home,
yes,
and somebody, a parent, I presume, said you cannot watch this show.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that both the parents both had the talk of like, if one comes to you,
right,
we got to be prepared. Nobody, yeah, say they were in agreement on this one. And I don't even think my 17-year-old brother was allowed to watch this.
So he was your older brother.
Yeah.
So everyone was watching it. You knew about it. Kids,
oh, yeah,
at school were talking about it.
Yeah.
You wanted to watch it on MTV.
Yeah.
Your parents presumably had heard something, read something, and they said, not for our young, innocent Emily.
Well, I have to start by telling you that I'm a Southern girl. So
yeah,
came from the South, and I feel like they were handing out leaflets on these things back then.
Right.
You know, in grocery stores, you got your groceries, and then you got a leaflet about what you should be telling your kids not to do.
Right.
It was very much, or maybe a PTA meeting, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it definitely was something that was on all the lips of the parents.
Wow.
About not only that, but Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, yes.
Those were the two things that I just remember as a young 13, feeling like I was left out of the pack because I couldn't watch Beavis and Butthead and I wasn't allowed to have Garbage Pail Kids cards. So I was devastated by this, especially because I was so into music.
Yeah.
And I remember trying to reason with my parents and telling them that really it was just, and this is, I'm sure we'll touch on this later, but my dad used to love Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Right. Yep.
So I was saying that basically it was just a kid's version of Mystery Science Theater, which in reality it kind of was.
Yes. So that was people watching an old sci-fi movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and commenting on what they,
yeah,
saw.
So this is Beavis and Butthead watching MTV music, yeah, videos.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously they didn't accept that. And I think a lot of it was also what videos were they watching?
Yeah.
And what were they saying? And so I very naively went through life without Beavis and Butthead.
But did you just watch music videos on MTV?
Well, MTV, I remember I had to sneak watching MTV for a long time.
Right.
And I really feel like I'm, and coming out of the South, coming into the greater world,
yeah,
was only when I discovered that I was very alone in that,
right,
that so many other kids had these great experiences. And I actually, when I was preparing for the show, called my ex-boyfriend, who is a music critic, and used to be the lead singer in a heavy metal band.
Yeah.
So I called Steve and I said, listen, I need some intel here because I'm a 42-year-old woman coming back to Beavis and Butthead and I'm a little confused.
Finally, I'm allowed to watch it.
I know. But it's so, I mean, the number of dick jokes or how they talk about women, like obviously in 2022, we live in a very different place and there are a lot of details in their commentary that maybe wouldn't be as prevalent in today's society. But there, I was really taken aback by just the absolute sheer genius in what the show was.
Yeah.
And how nobody had really done that or taken music videos and, you know, propelled them in that way forward. And I, the more I was researching it, the more I was like, it was a cultural phenomenon that I was not lucky enough to partake in. And I feel like I'm not a fully grown adult because of that.
So have you phoned your parents? And
no,
told
they're
them
hearing
you're
about
doing
this right,
right
now.
Right, okay, yeah. What are they called?
Debbie and Fred.
Debbie and Fred, come on.
No, they're like, I'm sure they're going, yes, and look at what a nice lady you've turned out to
that's
be.
That's true. Yeah, that, well, kind of true.
And then I start dating a heavy metal musician. And they're like, well, we should have let her watch To Beavis and Butthead and she could have gotten it out of her system then.
And I guess they, obviously they were abrasive and as two characters and they were controversial, but it's one of those things. And this, I mean, this is such a debated area of culture, isn't it? Where I believe Mike Judge, the creator of Beavis and Butthead, was having a laugh at these two guys. Mm. They were, we all knew people like that. Maybe you went to school with people like Beavis and Butthead. and he was affectionately taking the mick out of them. But of course, you would get people watching that show not appreciating the satirical side of it and just going, I want to be like them.
Yeah.
And that happens so many times when you do something that's satirical. That yeah. Some people don't see the satire. They just actually start hero worshipping these people and go, yeah, I want to be like that. I want to copy them. And, you know, it's, well, does that mean we can't make those shows because there are plenty of people who appreciate it for its satire? Or do we just have to worry that some people will misinterpret it? And it's, I mean, this is a debate that's been going on for years, isn't it? And it's still
going on.
Are
you talking about the fire episode?
The fire episode, which Beavis and Butthead constantly kind of joke about in future episodes, don't they?
Because they were banned from using the word fire.
They always try to use the word fire in other episodes just to
or
try.
Or they use like words that were close to fire or something. And it's ridiculous. But do you know the story of what happened, why it was banned?
You just remind everybody.
Okay, so I remember this very loosely, that it was something about a trailer burning down and a kid had watched Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
And he was playing with a lighter. That was the story.
Yeah.
And then apparently it all came out that actually none of that was true.
Right.
But regardless, the whole media attention around it made MTV ban Beavis and Butthead talking about fire because they were pyromaniacs.
Yeah.
They loved fire.
So they were used as scapegoats, really.
Yeah.
But the show is ridiculous. And I suppose it's easy for us to sit here as 40-somethings looking back on those 90s shows and going, well, who would take that seriously? They're ridiculous shows. But, you know,
teenagers.
Like I said, there are always some people who don't quite get the subtlety of the gag.
Yeah.
But I do think that even though they were very abrasive characters, certainly not people you'd particularly want to hang out with them.
Oh, God,
there is a joy to be had, and I certainly enjoyed this back in the 90s, of watching those kind of slackers, of watching those idiots.
The slacker phenomenon.
And there are so many of them, whether it is Bill and Ted or Wayne and Garth or whoever. And Beavis and Butthead were the edgier side of that. They were the more unpleasant side of that. But there's still something similar that all of them have, which is they somehow find themselves as heroes. They sort of amble through life, but somehow find themselves as in some cases, saving the world or just, you know, finding. I mean, Forrest Gump is not of that ilk, of course, but he is the sort of classic idiot savant, isn't he? He just finds himself by accident almost in these big situations. And I think there's an element of that, of Beavis and Butthead. They're such idiots.
Yeah.
They're so useless at everything. And yet, because they're so useless and so just unaware of everything, they just stumble into all these big situations.
Ignorance
and all these
is bliss.
Big moments. Absolutely. And I do think that there's something really enjoyable about watching that. And that's kind of the whole slacker phenomenon, why we love them so much, why we love Bill and Ted, who were just useless at school.
So useless.
But then they end up sort of saving the world.
But it is crazy though, James, because there were so many slackers in this period. And I know it was the 90s, it was grunge, it was kind of, and all the politicians in America, of course, like they used all of these, it was almost like everyone in Hollywood got together and they're like, let's just piss off the politicians and make these people that are useless the heroes of this generation. But it does seem a little strange that they all came in that same period of time.
Yeah.
Like there was an agenda that we didn't know was happening there.
No, and a short period of time. And maybe because we were kids in that era, just a year or two seemed like ages. Mm. But actually looking back, they were all really close to each other and overlapped with one another, really. But always blokes. And I wonder whether that's like sexism in Hollywood, that it was always just going to be about blokes because of the attitude, the prevailing attitude, or whether actually their women just didn't slack as much. They were more conscientious. I don't know. What do you think about
that? I would say the closest you would get would be Clueless.
Yeah.
As a slacker.
Yeah, but she's a glamorous slacker.
Yeah, I mean, she's glamorous, but she's still like the most naive person on earth.
That's true, yeah.
But she's the only female character that I can think of
that
would run in the same era and the same kind of ignorance is bliss theme. But I can't think of any other females. I never thought about that before. They're always males.
And I do think that they're probably quite disturbed, actually, Beavis and Butthead. I mean,
do you think?
I mean, Beavis has his alter ego, doesn't he, Cornholio, who's kind of...
I swear to God, any mention of a hole, and like Black Hole Sun, my God, that was painful.
So, but ultimately, if we looked at it really like clinically, this is a guy who probably has some kind of personality disorder. Obviously, there are very serious debates that were had at the time and still people are having them about disaffected youth and juvenile delinquency and violent behavior and all those kind of things. And you could absolutely put all those things onto Beavis and Butthead, as you said, people were at the time. But for me, it's kind of like South Park as well, which again was only a few years afterwards. Mm. It is so stupid. It is so ridiculous. I don't know how you could take it seriously. It makes political points, of course, but I don't know how you could ever think I could do that myself. There's a realism there.
There were so many instances. I think there was another one with a bowling ball,
right?
Because don't Beavis and Butthead throw a bowling ball off an interstate or something?
Oh, yeah, right.
They do something with a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Anyway, then there was another incident with a teenager with a bowling ball. I mean, there are a lot of little things, but in the mainstream media, I mean, I can't even imagine what would happen today with that.
Yeah.
As far as it blowing up on social media, that a TV show has sparked this, literally sparked a trailer. But it is so interesting. And I really wish that I had about like 10 more weeks to look into this, because I feel like it was such a cultural phenomenon, but I feel like there was so much happening behind the scenes of it.
Yeah.
And with Mike Judge as well. And I also I cannot believe he voiced both characters.
Yeah, and brilliant. And so many other characters as well.
It's insane. He's like Seth MacFarlane, like the first iteration.
Yeah. And they're so different. You would never listen to those voices or when it's the teachers and things like that, or the pupils, and think that's all the same guy.
No. He's so good.
So good. We will talk more about Beavis and Butthead shortly. And of course, we do our regular feature, Whatever Happened To, you might know the answer to this one. One of Beavis and Butthead's old schoolmates. Do you remember Daria?
Oh, yes.
It's all coming up. This is the shows we watched with me, James King.
And me, Emily Johnston.
And now we're looking at Daria Morgendorfer.
What a surname.
What a surname. Of course, originated on Beavis and Butthead as their smart-ass female high school colleague. just a wonderful voice, isn't she? This kind of monotonous voice.
So good.
Tracy Grandstaff is the actor who voiced her and still voices her. And she was put in there by the creative team really just to show up just how idiotic these guys were.
Yeah.
And to be this kind of cool female voice in there. And then, of course, and we've talked about this before on the show, I love it when a small character becomes something bigger and blows up into their own cultural phenomenon. She went and had her own spin-off show. I think the plot was that her family moved from Highlands. These are all fictional
Highland,
towns.
Texas.
Yeah, where
such a random place for Beavis and Butthead to be.
It's where that was set. And then she moved to, let's place, Lawndale and started afresh, started her own show. And did 65 episodes of that. There are a couple of TV movies of that as well. So we really did at that point, not that you'd know because you weren't allowed to watch these, but we really did at this point seem to be in quite a golden age of satirical animation and MTV very much at the forefront of that. And another great spin-off show. I love, this is a great kind of quiz question, isn't it, about spin-off shows. Where does this character originate? People always forget that, like, Mork and Mindy was from Happy Days and things like that. And they're all the Mary Tyler Moore spin-offs. And Frasier, of course, probably the most famous spin-off. Daria was a spin-off from Beavis and Butthead. And maybe everyone else on the planet remembers that. But I was actually, I'd forgotten.
I didn't even know.
I was surprised.
But I have to say, actually, that what I find, and again, I'm coming at this now with a fresh set of eyes because it was the first time I'm watching it. But now having watched Beavis and Butthead, I feel like they made Daria quite an asexual character because literally every woman with boobs or legs that was present on their television set had to be mentioned or in some way, you know, sexualized. So I almost wonder if Daria wasn't, maybe asexual isn't there. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So just was, sort of not as hot, like, I don't even want to say not hot, but just not something that they would drool over.
Yeah. And that's why she was the coolest one on that show.
Yeah.
And that's why I think she became a phenomenon and had her own show and had her own life and people still love Daria.
Yeah.
Because actually it was never about how she looked. It was about her brains and her attitude and the things that she said. And was a great antidote to Beavis and Butthead. I love both of them. I want both of them to exist, but they really were chalk and cheese, weren't they?
They were so chalk and cheese.
You want to talk about the music as well, because the music is so such an important part of Beavis and Butthead. Obviously, they in each episode they had their antics and they got up to all kinds of stuff. Plot is perhaps too too much of a word to describe what was going on, but there was a storyline. But music was a huge part of the show, wasn't it?
Yeah, like 70%, it felt like. I mean, obviously, I don't know the exact scenario there. Was it 70-30? Was it 60-40? It felt like it was the majority of the show, right?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that as I'd been banned from watching it, and the only thing I ever saw were visuals of them wearing AC/DC and Metallica t-shirts, my impression was that all the music they were going to be watching would be heavy metal or rock.
Yeah.
And I was so pleasantly surprised when the first episode was Olivia Newton-John's physical. And
love that.
Well, no, it sucked. This sucks. Like, and I was really surprised at how nicely it was just a little bit of everything at the time. And when I was watching it, my PR mind kept going, God, record executives must have been like chomping at the bit to get their videos in front of Beavis and Butthead. But at the same time, sitting back going, oh my God, I hope this is okay and that they don't absolutely slam it. Because you read back onto what people were saying about these two guys and they were calling them the best music critics of that time period.
Yeah.
So kind of what Beavis and Butthead said went. If it sucked, it sucked. If they were headbanging, you knew you were onto something.
Yeah.
And so there was a direct correlation in charts at the time. And I was so impressed with that, actually. And even their commentary was nothing of great brilliance. And I did make a note, actually, because when I watched their review of Radiohead's Creep...
Now, I saw you post on Instagram, actually, about how you've been listening to Radiohead's Creep over and over again. And I thought, I bet that's got something to do with Beavis and Butthead.
Well, yeah, because I hadn't heard it in a really long time. And I think a lot of that was because my ex-boyfriend used to say, God, I mean, they don't even play that at shows anymore. They hate it. And so I think I got that in my head. And so I just wasn't listening to Creep. And then I it came up on when I was watching Beavis and Butthead. I was like, oh my God, what a great song. But their commentary is actually brilliant. So I just want to read this to yeah. you, okay? So Beavis says to Butthead, don't worry, it gets cool in a mirror in a minute. Here it comes. Yes, yes, rock. They obviously Creep kind of starts yeah, out melancholy. Yeah. And then, yeah, they do. They rock. It's a headbanging opportunity. And then Butthead responds with, how come they didn't play that cool part through the whole song? And he says, if they didn't have like a part of the song that sucked, then like the other part wouldn't be as cool.
It makes sense.
And you're like, Beavis and Butthead have just made sense of Creep. Like, how is this? And I sat there in disbelief. And because they don't show you the whole video,
yeah.
I was like, well, then I just have to go listen to the whole song. And I kept listening to it on repeat. And all I could hear was Beavis and Butthead in the background. And then seeing them do their yeah. headbanging thing.
It's like what Wayne and Garth did to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, it becomes, and I'm sure this happened to a lot of people because of watching Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. You totally associate a song with them. And I'm sure it introduced a lot of tracks to people as well. Mm. And there's something, isn't there, about shows where the characters are just watching TV. And yes. The Family Guy, they do it quite a lot. Friends, they do it as well. There's some British shows, which like Gogglebox. It's a British show, yeah. which is basically, I mean, it's a reality show. It's not a drama, but it is literally just people watching TV and us as the viewers at home listening to what they say about the TV shows.
Yeah, just listening to their commentary. It's Beavis and Butthead in real life.
Exactly. And I do think that we're perhaps at our sort of most natural, in a way, our most relaxed when we're just sat on a sofa watching TV, because we don't think anything we're saying is going to go beyond these four walls.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the genius of Beavis and Butthead, isn't it? It is just two guys, I've done this with my mates.
Yeah.
Just sat watching TV, watching music videos, and just sort of chewing the fat about it and saying nonsense, but you think it's absolute genius. And on occasions it sometimes is. So it sort of allow those moments really allow us to get to know the characters, because it's them at their most natural, their most sort
of free. Would you say vulnerable?
Free. But I don't know if Beavis and Butthead were ever vulnerable, really. I mean, I think...
I just really want a sentence to be composed with the vulnerabilities of Beavis and Butthead.
But I remember when it was Joey and Chandler did it on the Lazy Boys, didn't they, and Friends, yes. watching Baywatch,
oh you know, my
the
God,
opening
yes.
credits to Baywatch.
Yeah.
And that's essentially Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, really. Tongues wagging.
It's a similar kind of thing. Yeah. In fact, in the Beavis and Butthead, I think it's the Beavis and Butthead movie, or it might be an episode, they sort of mentioned Baywatch in that. And I'm just thinking, you know, this was, forget Beavis and Butthead and Friends, we've got to do an episode on Baywatch, because that's a cultural landmark.
But I don't know if they would make it through Baywatch.
I'm just wondering what we would do now. And there is, you know, there's new episodes of Beavis and Butthead, so it'll be interesting to see. Because I don't know if we sit around watching the TV as much. Okay. Certainly not as families.
Yeah.
And if you are 15, 16 years old, like Beavis and Butthead were meant to be, aren't you just going to be watching that on your phone or your tablet? You're not going to be sat on a sofa watching a screen in front of you.
No.
And it's a very different experience. It's probably much more of a solo experience, isn't it? Rather than being with your friends.
But here's the other interesting thing that I just thought about with you saying that, because obviously music videos aren't really a thing yeah. anymore, as far as like, well, obviously we know MTV
is not
reality
music shows.
Television
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
It hasn't been for decades. Very, very distressing.
Yeah.
But this whole idea of music videos being something that came on randomly.
Yeah.
So unless you're watching even the Top Charts show, actually, you yeah. didn't know what was coming next.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like listening to the radio with music. It's very different. Now we stream things. So music we stream, videos we stream. So there is no randomness to this.
Yeah.
Whereas Beavis and Butthead, you did get the impression, well, they're just watching MTV and you never know what the next video is going to
yeah.
be. And so their response, you would see the video that they're about to watch. And sometimes they would have a commentary very early on. And sometimes you were just waiting for a bomb to go off because you're like, how have they not said anything yet? I can't stand this. And the randomness of it is what we lack today.
Yeah.
And that's what I found was so seductive about that show. Obviously, yeah. it wasn't random to the creators, but that whole... a recreation of what we were getting with MTV.
Yeah, they weren't choosing the videos to watch. No. They were just waiting for whatever came on.
Yeah, which I loved. I really miss that in all aspects of our life. I feel like it is sad. So when I was thinking about when they were recreating it, I'm like, well, how are you going to do this? You're going to stream it, but then you have to type in what you want to watch.
Yeah. They're constantly going to be typing in Metallica.
Well, yeah, if they can choose what they're going to watch, they're not going to watch any Olivia Newton-John.
Whereas I would type in Olivia Newton-John. I mean, that, I'd be the opposite.
I mean, they do this brilliant for, I can't remember what it's called, but you know, they did like a short series before it was a series.
Yes.
So Mike Judge, I think it was like The Leapfrog or something. Yes. I can't remember what the title was. But one of the first videos that they reviewed was Milli Vanilli's...
Girl, You Know It's True.
Girl, You Know It's True. I was about to say Blame It on the Rain.
Another one of their classics.
And it's so brilliant because it's years after the whole debacle of, you know, the outing of the fact they never sang anything.
Yeah.
And Beef, I'm not sure if it was Beavis or Butthead. I get them very confused. I'm not sure I really understand who's who even now. But one of them said, this is so real. I think it might be live. And the other one's going, these dance moves are amazing. And they basically are just constantly talking about something that we all know to be in later years completely, you know, untrue about Milli Vanilli, but they have this naivety to them. And the fact that they're not Milli Vanilli listeners, so they probably have no clue. Like, and they're 16, they're not going to be, you know, going through the papers to see that Milli Vanilli is actually a completely lip synced band. So I just, there were little moments of just sheer brilliance. But I also wonder, as a 13-year-old, would you appreciate that? Or as a 16-year-old, or however old you were when it came out?
Because Mike Judge wasn't that age when he was making it. No. He had a maturity about him. Beavis is blonde, by the way, and Butthead is the brunette.
Okay.
So in that respect, you are, I guess you're probably the Butthead to my Beavis. I'm probably slightly,
we went there, didn't we?
Slightly lighter haired than you, but
I have to be Butthead.
Well, you want to be Beavis? Is that better?
God.
You could be Daria.
I
mean, whatever you want to be.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'll be Butthead. It's cool.
Emily, the Butthead to my Beavis. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Speak to you next week.
Speak to you next week, James.
If you'd like to send us an email, a voicemail, a comment, an idea for a show, or just want to say hi, our email address is theshowswewatched@gmail.com. Theshowswewatched@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And we may use your message in a future show. Find us, of course, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're at Diversion Pods. Personally, I'm James King Movies on Instagram. Emily, tell me about your socials.
I am at Emily Jane Johnston.
That's everywhere, right? That's
everywhere.
Insta, TikTok, Twitter.
All the socials.
MySpace, you still got that?
Oh, God.
The Shows We Watched is a production of Diversion Audio. The season was written, researched and hosted by me and Emily. And our supervising producer and sound mixer is Mark Francis. Concept by John Tuttle. Head of Marketing, Erica Farmer. Original theme music by Tyler Cash. And we're all recorded at the VoxPod Studios in London. And a special thanks to our executive producers, Jacob Bronstein, Mark Francis, and Scott Waxman for Diversion Audio.
Ta-da!
Diversion Audio.